We're going to call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order at 1901 for March 12, 2024. If all would rise for the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands on one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. Hopefully the township won't be too loud for us, so we don't get too much feedback on the recording, but we'll see tomorrow and we listen back. Hey, we'll start with public comment. If anybody has anything that they want to say that's not on the agenda, sit in the hot seat and get your 2 minutes of fame or 3 minutes of fame. All right, we'll move on then to the agenda review and adoption. Is there anything that we need to add?
Just one thing is the order of the agenda. With the annual township meeting, we may have to squeeze in Commissioner Fahey and then also move around the Hamburg Fire report.
Okay. Council, anything else to add? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve as written.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
Second.
Moved second to adopt the agenda as written. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Now look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved second to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. We'll skip the chief and Alex and Emily, if you guys want to, whoever wants to be the speaker. Just state your name and don't worry, we're nothing like we see on TVs.
Lee Patterson here to talk about the Ducks Unlimited bingo that we are looking to host at the Hamburg Community Hall. We are including the Lions Club for any food and drink. And we are looking today to possibly get the rent either waived or possibly reduced.
Council, any questions for Emily or any?
Is this something that's going to happen like possibly every year here, or is it something?
It is something that we look forward to doing every year and possibly expanding to a possible banquet depending on the outcome come April 20th. Which we are advertising on Facebook as well as putting up flyers in order to try and get as many people here as possible.
Also, thoughts on the request?
I'm fine waiving it.
Yeah,
I absolutely. It's something that they're going to do, possibly banquets and stuff like that, and it's part of the community.
And at least for bingo, we would include the Lions Club
yep.
year after
yep.
year as well.
Yep. I say waive it.
I make a motion then to waive the community hall rental fee for the Ducks Unlimited event, April 20th.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
Moved and seconded to waive the hall rental fee for the Ducks Unlimited event for April 20th, 2024. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Fee is waived.
Thank
you did very well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll next move on then to old city business.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, wait. Oh, Alex.
You...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. state your name and.
Yeah. My name is Alex Morales. I'm the regional director for Ducks Unlimited here. I cover the greater metro area for all event fundraising for Ducks Unlimited. So, one of the few people here in Minnesota that are actually paid by DU to try to do event fundraising. What I had to talk to the council about here is. I need a city clerk signature on this LG 220 form. It is paperwork for charitable gambling. I have it filled out here in completion, as well as all of our 501c status, our charter information, and all of that. That can be the council's copy as well.
Council, any questions? Otherwise, we...
So that's the lawful gambling permit, correct?
Correct, sir.
So then we'd look to have a motion to approve that.
Yep.
I make a motion to approve the lawful gambling request from Ducks Unlimited.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the gambling license request by Ducks Unlimited. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. Jeremy can sign that for you.
Hey, here. Right, that's your 501c5 for
right. Well, Jeremy is signing that, making a copy. We'll move on then to old city business. First up is the Trebish litigation. We know we've had some conversation about the deeds. I don't know if you want to take on.
Yeah. So where we're at right now with this is I think we're ready to put this matter to bed for the city. Pat Neaton had sent over executed quitclaim deeds, and that was done, and a perpetual sewer line easement. So it's already been signed. They're dated March 1st, 2024. So I think you guys should have copies of Pat's letter with those three items. And so my office looked at the perpetual sewer line easement, and in accordance with the settlement agreement, this is what the settlement agreement provides, is that this document would need to be provided in the form that he has drafted it. So our office is comfortable with the city agreeing to this version of this document. We had exchanged, my office had drafted, Mr. McDougall had drafted a broader perpetual easement that would be broader than just the sewer line. Pat's client would not agree to the broad provision, but the settlement agreement provides for the narrow version that's attached here. So that's, you know, it is what it is. That's in the settlement agreement. So this is fine. This is acceptable. This is in accordance with the settlement agreement. We also today did take a look at the legal descriptions that are in the quitclaim and just wanted to make sure, reading it line word by word and line by line, that those are the correct legal descriptions that were provided by our office to Pat, and they are. So I can confidently say to you that those are the correct legal descriptions. And so then the only thing left would be for the mayor to sign a quitclaim deed, which the city needs to approve for him. You guys need to approve for him to do. And then we can get everything wrapped up.
Just before we jump into that, Kelly. So then is, you know, what initially was agreed upon, I believe was 15 feet on either side.
I have to say that I don't know any details about what, you know, okay. I just know that what is in front of you is acceptable and is in accordance with the settlement agreement. Okay. Yeah.
That's the main part.
Yeah.
Okay. And what are we, what were the differences between what we, what you guys drafted and what they came back with?
Just
what
are we losing? A really broad, well, you're not losing anything. We just drafted a very broad document that's broader than what the agreed upon settlement agreement provides, thinking that if we could get something broader, why not?
Gotcha.
And he, you know, expectedly said no to that. I'm only going to agree to what is it specifically in the settlement agreement. So it is what it is.
Okay.
Paul, any other questions? Otherwise, we heard that the advice is that everything's in order. No reason for us not to move forward to the last step of actually getting the subdivision done and the properties in proper order. There's no other questions or any other objections, then I just look for a motion to approve me signing the quitclaim deed.
Councilman Tracy, I make a motion for the mayor to sign the quitclaim deed for the Trebish litigation.
Second it.
It's moved and seconded to have the mayor sign the quitclaim deed. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor abstains. All opposed? Passes.
Okay, with that, Kelly, me and Chris will sign it, get it notarized. Then you want me to drop it off at your office, and then you can file it.
That would be great. That would be great. Yep.
Okay.
Excellent. We'll move on then to park bathrooms remodel. I don't know, Jason, you got anything to add there?
Well, you can jump in, but real quickly, what we've started on it, got good progress on it. Just a couple things we wanted to discuss. Maybe if Jason wants, he can give a more in-depth detail on what's all been done. But one of the things, if you recall, there was a drinking fountain out front. We are not going to replace that. Instead, we're going to slide the pop machine in there because it'll fit perfectly. Hmm. We're also going to add a camera. So it'll be right above where the pop machine is and the doors. So if anybody's listening, you will be on camera if you try to vandalize the bathrooms or the pop machine. So that was the one thing. And then the other thing, I mean, the majority of it will be brick, right? The walls.
Yeah, there's just that wall between the men's and women, yeah. And then in the men's would be one other wall. That, well, I'm just wondering FRP, if it gets, because FRP is a lot more maintenance free, but if it gets paint on it, I don't know how easy that is to clean. So do we want to put paint, or do we want to just plywood and paint, or do we want to put FRP? I mean, me and Jeremy kind of gotten back and forth, and that we bring up to you guys and see what you guys think.
Also, any thoughts either way?
Do you try putting spray paint?
No, I didn't.
I mean, the worry is there is that it's kind of like a Target. I hate to say it, but, you know, with it being brand new and just getting done, I can just see someone coming in there because we already have a, what is it,
LOL on the block.
On the block.
And what I read on it is, like FRP, some of it, if you put like a lacquer thinner on to clean it off, it depends on the grade of FRP. It might take the finish off or whatever. And
take it'll look nice and be nice and maintenance free. Now, if they spray paint on it, can we get it off? Whereas, you know, you do plywood or sheetrock or whatever, you just paint over it.
I'm gonna go plywood.
So that's the dilemma. I hate we have to think this way, but.
Is there a major cost difference?
$300-$400, I think, for FRP. Probably. $500 max, probably $500. Yes.
Council? How often has that happened in the current bathroom?
How often is what happened?
Get spray painted inside there.
There's only one spot in there. I don't know how long it's been on. Since I've been here, it's been there. So
can you buy a small piece and test it?
Well, down in the shop, that's what I was going to do. I have to do it. There's an FRP down there, so I was going to test it on that. So
do we have to have a decision this council meeting or next one?
It ain't going to be for L till that's done.
I think we just wait till he tries it out. And
I like the idea of FRP myself.
Yeah.
Right. We're spending this much money. Might as well like it look nice.
Yeah.
Versus just painted plywood.
Okay. Well, why don't you give it a test in the shop and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Anything else on that?
No, unless Jason's got anything else to add. We're moving along.
Yeah, the doors are in and concrete's cut over. He's waiting for plumbing to do the plumbing.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on. I see Commissioner Fahey has made his way into the chamber. We'll go ahead and have him come up to the hot seat and after he's been warmed up in the other room. They have more people there, though.
Let's do a check. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sneaking me in, Marilyn. I appreciate it. I'm headed over to Camden Township. They start at 7:30, so. Just wanted to give the council a quick update, and all the information is listed on the handout that I gave you. But we're really excited now with the last final piece of Highway 212 from Cologne to NYA to fill in that last remaining gap. That project, they've already started to do some of the tree removal. You'll see that taking place, and we're probably going to let the bids out in April or early May, and then that project will start in June, and it will happen in the same manner that the Cologne to Carver was done. So there will not be any restriction in the flow of traffic from east or west. And then we're putting a bridge in at Bungards that will be a north-south bridge. We continue to receive various grant money, the different types of grants. We were notified we received another $8 million grant through the state via the federal government for Highway 5. Our ultimate goal is to make that a four-lane from County Road 41 all the way to the Dairy Queen in Victoria. And if you haven't heard, we're going to put a new bridge in front of the Arboretum. But that bridge now, according to an environmentalist, we've ran across the Rusty Patch B. And supposedly the Rusty Patch B has nesting grounds on the Arboretum, and they're supposed to be able to get across Highway 5 to get to Lake Minnewashta for water. And so that's going to impact the project. We don't know how much, but once the environmentalists get involved, so you're going to hear a lot about the Rusty Patch B in the next couple of years. Highway 40 project, I drove through there today. If you have an opportunity to take that road from basically East Union down to Belle Plaine, you'll see now that they're removing quite a few trees in that area. We're getting ready to straighten that road out and to improve some of the curves and also some of the shoulders to just make that a safer road. But it's really kind of cool now to go look at it because you can see so much of what kind of the alignment is going to be with all the tree removal. Highway 11 and 14, we have a roundabout project scheduled there in the city of Victoria. And then Highway 10 and Waconia Parkway North, we're going to put a roundabout there also. And then that, with the environmentalists, we've been informed with the long-eared brown bat. And supposedly that bat has some habitat in those trees just to the west of that. That now is going to impact that project and the cost. And so we continue to work through that. So you're going to hear a lot about bats and bees through this year and probably next year. In 2023, we were able to finish Highway 20 and 25. That really bad intersection that was west of Watertown High School. And that now has really improved some of the sight lines there and made that a lot safer intersection. So we don't have any more accidents or deaths at that intersection. The Highway 41 bridge project we completed, and then there was another bridge over Silver Creek that was completed. And then just about a month ago, we had the ribbon cutting for the Paradise Commons. That's the new event center at Lake Waconia Regional Park. And if you and some of us in this room had the opportunity to probably drink a beer or two in the old Paradise or Lakeside Ballroom, and that building now is completely gone. And so are those memories, but they're memories. And then Carver Link update, the 10-year anniversary is coming together. And our goal is to be the first county in the state with a population over 10,000 to have everyone available for high-speed bandwidth if they desire to take it. My cell number is on the bottom of the back page, and definitely feel free to call me if you have any questions or concerns, and I'll open myself up for some questions if anyone has any.
Council, any questions for the commission?
Well, I think just to add on to that, John, is I think also County Road 50 through town slated to be seal coated.
It is. Too. Yep.
So just if you could keep us in the loop on that so we can know when the start date of that is.
Okay.
We can get that in the newsletter and make people aware.
Yeah, that was in our, we actually had a board meeting today, Jerem. Yeah, that was in there. So I'll pull that information. I'll get it to you.
Excellent.
Because it's slated all the way, even into NYA, they're going to seal code.
Yep.
Also, any other questions for Commissioner B? Nothing here.
Nothing here.
Looks like you're good to go. You're going to make that Camden Township one.
I am. Thank you for saving me
up. Yeah, no problem. All right, with that, we'll move on then to the grinder station rebuild.
All right, so we kind of had our first initial kickoff meeting for the grinder station rebuild, but we're looking at probably about 2 months before we get that started. I believe just this week, Jason, they ordered the container, the fiberglass container. So once that gets, we'll get everything lined up. So it'll be a couple months yet before we'll be going on the project. But included with that, also with that, I think... and I'm still doing some checking with this project and another project, but by the end of this year, we have to allocate where we're going to use our ARPA funds. And we have about $56,000 there. I've done some thinking. I'm trying to do a little research to see what it can all be used for. I don't quite know if it can be used for streets, just streets. We're doing sewer sanitary improvements of that, we might be able to include it in a street project. But my thing, I think the ideal thing to use that money for would be the grinder station build, because water and sewer and stormwater are some of the improvements you can use ARPA funds for. So something to consider. And I'll talk a little bit more about this, you know, as we get into the cost of the Bradstreet project too. And where we are, what we're looking at, estimated cost, and where we're sitting is what we have set aside for that project. So,
Jeremy, on that grinder, I was thinking, should we put some ballards in front of that so that we don't get hit? Would that be put two on each side? It'd be better than hitting that thing.
Yeah, and then taking out the panel. Yeah, I don't think that would be a bad idea. You know, as long as we should have thought of that when we had our kickoff meeting, just to ask the placement of it. You know what I mean? That would be my only question if we do it. You know, the placement of them too. So that way it's easy enough for them to get in and pull bumps and, you know, that type of stuff.
Which they'll be over before we get the concrete anyway.
Yeah.
So we decide to do that.
We can ask them about that, if that would create any issues or... But yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
Council, any other questions about the grinder station rebuild? Nope. Okay. And then move on to new city business, curb stops.
All right. So what has been a hot topic lately is curb stops and responsibility. Who's responsible? A lot of cities are switching over, that they're redoing their ordinances, whereas the city has access to the curb stop, but it's the homeowners. We've always had it where we own the curb stop. So it's just something to think about or consider, because what we have here is there three of them for sure we know of that don't work?
Well, Feldman's, Gowanus, and Steve's.
Yeah.
Them three, and
Feldman's may work, but I am going to pull up a picture where we believe it is located. First thing is, I'll pull up this that'll show in the street. All right, so what we have here is so this is for Feltman's curb stop. Spin this. There we go. So this is on the corner of Central and Maria. And we believe that's where the curb stop is.
And they're showing that there should be power.
And that run is probably, what would you guys say, 150 feet?
Well,
200 feet, almost, by the time
it
gets to your house. So why? I can't tell you why it's there. We've just been told that that's where it is. So
they got a curb stop in there, in their yard too, but we didn't purge right. They went shut, so we don't know what they did. They ran a new one from there to the house, or we're not sure.
So kind of the dilemma we've talked about is, I mean, that we should probably cut that out and dig that up so there's access to it at least to see if it works. So then we get into the scenario of we know there's two others where the curb stops don't work. We know you guys, Feltman's probably have a older turn valve shut off, right? Which,
yep.
Does it even work?
Well, that we don't know either.
Yeah. So what we need at least is a minimum of a shut off in the house. So if there's a, you know, an issue that they can shut off the water from that's within the house. But with that, we also have, we know, three curb stops that we need to replace. We're looking at what, about 3,000 a piece roughly?
If it's in asphalt, it's 3 grand. It's in just yards.
Yeah. So what we got to look at, because of significant cost, is do we want to look at replacing these curb stops or at a minimum putting in shutoff valves and the shutoff meters? We figured it was what, about $300 to put in a.
Well, it depends on the. If there's more than one, be 300. Otherwise, about 350, 400.
Okay.
And then shutoff meters,
five.
600.
Yeah. So you're getting into about $1,000 to have a shutoff meter and a shutoff valve put in versus $2,500 to $3,000 replacing the curbs.
You'll $5.
So that's kind of the dilemma, and we own the curb stop right now. So if there was a leak, at a minimum, you want to be able to turn off the water in your house. Two, if it's leaking outside, you know, it doesn't do as much damage as it would in a house, but you still want to stop that water. Whereas without the curb stops not working, and once we start this, I'm just bringing it up. We know three, it's probably 15, who knows? You know, that don't work, because it's one of the things we've talked about, and Jason was going to go around and try and make sure we have them all located and then probably work them too. So we have an inventory as we're doing this. You know, this lead and copper rule is added to Jason's list, so to say. You know, as we get into this lead and copper, we think of all these other things we should be doing and looking at. So, like I said, at a minimum, I think we need to at least get shutoff valves into these homes that they have working shutoff valves. Because I know one of the homes, they don't have a working shutoff valve and they don't have a working curb stop. And we also need to replace their meter, but we haven't because of that, those conditions. So it's something to think about.
Well, so any questions?
She said you're going to go around and try to locate and test all the curb stops if you can find
it. Yeah, basically, right. Like this year, right? Well, we might all of them. I want to go around and turn them all and see.
Right. How hard are they supposed to turn? Because when I tried to turn mine, I didn't want to break it, but I didn't push it. Let's just put it that way.
We didn't want to beat on it.
That's the thing. Is, last thing as I want is Old Faithful in the yard. So I wasn't, I didn't push it, but.
So they kind of, some turn harder and some turn easily. It's kind of, I don't know.
So if we want shut off valves in the house, is that something we're paying for?
Well, for not fixing the curb stop, I guess. That's kind of the road we've gone down.
Right.
Now, if the curb stop works, I'd say that technically, if the curb stop works, it's the homeowner's responsibility. That's the protocol we followed.
Right.
But here,
I think we got to.
We're in a situation where the curb stop.
For the ones.
Work. Well, we're going to have to.
For the ones that don't work at all, we need to do something.
Yeah, right. We can't just say, well, it's. We're done. Right. We're going to wipe off.
Not good to say, well, that's your issue. Well, no. Then we need to fix and look at ourselves first, you know, address our issues first before we're going to go point fingers.
Well, I think we should make sure all curb stops are working and then say, okay, now let's redo the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Get the ones working now.
Right.
And yes. Then do a full inventory.
Yep.
Change it.
Yep.
So what you're saying, at least have a shut off? In the house?
Yeah.
Well, but if we have to shut off in the house, then if we need to shut something off, then we have the city and Jason has to coordinate.
Very with possibly the homeowner. Could have to shut off.
But then you have to coordinate with a homeowner. Is there a scenario where you'd have to shut that off and let's say the homeowner's not?
Well, the shut off is actually
right.
Well, the meter shuts it off.
Yes.
Because the shut off meters are made for, like, you can shut them down in the winter. There's enough to keep the boiler running. But it's not admissible for someone and for fucking toilets and everything. They won't have enough water for that.
It won't be an enjoyable shower, let's just say. So.
Okay, I guess that's where you lost me. The meter shuts.
Yeah,
the meter shuts off. Okay, I was thinking like putting in valves in everyone's house.
Well, that was the other thing too.
So
okay.
Both.
They have a water leak. They can actually shut theirs off.
Right.
Right.
Because like theirs right now, I wouldn't dare to touch it because it might leak in. So.
Right. And then we got to shut off a whole block or two.
Like we did last summer.
But then are we setting, so what happens if we put the valves and the shutoff meters in there, then are we eventually going to have to fix these anyways? Or are we just going to abandon those in place and just say, we're done doing that? Are we setting a precedence there? Or do we just fix the infrastructure that we're using across the rest of the
city? That's always the tough thing, because once you start something and kind of what I was hinting at, we know of three could turn into quite easily $15,000 and $50,000.
Well, like Steve has a shot.
You know, if you're going to replace them all.
First,
yeah.
Meters.
Yes. And he has a new valve.
And he has a new valve.
So the new meters that were installed don't shut them off. It'd have to be a different meter.
Yeah. Well, it'd have to be shut off, the shut off valve. Because what we're finding in a lot of these homes, the shut off valves, they're 50 years old, probably, if not more.
Yeah.
And they're not effective anymore. They don't work. You know, you need them ball valves that they work really well. And if you got them old, older.
That's is there more than one house in this curb stop, do you think?
Well, we know of three right now.
That are connected to this one?
And they're all kind of in a row.
Oh.
That one's a spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, we'd have to dig up.
So how do we know that, I mean, that's the spot?
Derek Rodney,
a neighbor,
okay.
That.
Okay.
A picture.
But is it the side of Becky's house then?
That's right.
Yes. Got it. They didn't bother to inform us. There was a curb stop there. They decided to just cement right over it.
So that's what we were talking to. And we spent the money to cut that out and replace the concrete, and then curb stop might work, might not. Or do we just put a meter shut up building? Oh my God.
Because you know, at a bare minimum, I think we got to get the shutoffs in the house.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I can try to spend some time to see what other cities are doing or how they're dealing with curb stops, because we could do an inventory and find out that
the vast majority
don't work.
Right. But the priority right now is theirs is buried in concrete.
Right.
So
that's why I'm saying the main thing for them,
right,
if their shutoff don't work. We need to, what we'd like to do is shut off that block area, get that one done, and get Bob Gregonis's done too. Because we know his shut off doesn't work or his curb stop.
Yeah.
I mean, these are ones that we know.
That's probably what I would start with. I think we cut off that portion of the city, just get them done in a couple hours, turn it back on. But back to setting a precedence. I mean, the last thing we want is, well, we're responsible for this many shutoff valves, now we're responsible for this many ball valves and houses. Because I think we got to be on one side of the city. Because if your shutoff doesn't work, but we're responsible for your ball valve, but your ball valve.
Well, we won't be responsible. Technically, we're not responsible for the ball valve. Anything after, what ordinance is it? Anything after the curb stop is the homeowner's responsibility.
Right. But if we put in a ball valve knowing that the curb stop doesn't work, I mean,
and I'd say go alert people and be like, hey, I'll take one of those new meters.
I'll take one of those meters and ball valves in my house.
Yeah, but not everyone has 150 feet of line from there. I mean,
Yeah. I don't know. I can see that just being an issue down the road. We just got to have a hard line in the sand.
I mean, this is the issue right now.
Right.
And it's a huge.
Take care of this first, but for the future, as we're testing meters and testing.
As long as that portion being reimbursed, the homeowner, have them do it, because if we do it, it's our liability. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Well, yeah, that, and yeah, just
or just anybody is going to come and say, hey, my valve don't work,
right? Because I mean, when I shut the water off in my house, I heard
you guys are doing plumbing now,
I mean, but like when I shut the water off in my house, I mean, that 50-year-old, I mean, even 70-year-old, whatever valve, I mean, yeah, it leaked for about 4 days till the letters got wet inside and worked again, but just kept a pail underneath it, otherwise, I was going to call you to come to your place and shut the water off, itself, but it's, you know, I just feel like we're be into a snowball effect here if we start placing certain ball valves and well, this one for sure.
I think
this one's
pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
But we know what we need to do there, but before we do anybody else's, I'd rather. I just don't want the best way to.
Well, no, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. We've beaten ourselves up for about a week discussing this already. So.
But I think for now, if we can line up those two houses, we have to shut the water off in that portion of the city, get the new ball valves put in so they can at least shut the water off in the homes.
And then it gives us an opportunity to switch out the meters too,
right?
Because we want to do that anyways.
Right.
Because we have a lot of meters in town that are 20 plus years old. They're past their life expectancy. So,
yeah. I mean, I think for now, we know what we need to do here, and then hope it doesn't become cross that bridge when we get there, I guess.
Right. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, sounds like the council's in agreement that we take care of this one with the in-the-house solution, and then over the next, I don't know how many weeks or months it's going to take you to identify the ones that don't work, but
that might be a couple-year project.
Yeah. Don't you know, go looking. Let them find you.
You know, at least that way we get an idea what the bigger problem is.
Right.
And then we can make a better, more educated decision going forward from there. Okay. We'll move on then, unless there's anything else for that. Move on to the crack ceiling seal coating for 2024. Here we have some funky new product that we've got
talking about. Yeah. So kind of big thing we want to touch base on is Bargain uses this agricultural oil sealant, I believe is what they call it, Replay. I know a lot of some of the surrounding cities are going to it. It's cheaper alternative. A lot of them haven't had anything bad to say about it. But what we've heard, it's best used when you have when you haven't seal coated a street yet. And if we were ever going to do it or try it, now's the time to do it, because the streets that we're looking to crack seal or seal are fresh streets. They've never been seal coated. They're pretty much brand new streets within the last 2-3 years. So we're going to get bids, just so you know, for now. I've put the info in on this Replay. We're still doing a little more research, asking around on this Replay. And we're going to get people to submit quotes till the next meeting. So then that at that time, we can look at to see what the cost difference is, to see if we want to consider looking at using this new product. I know Hutch uses it a lot. Cologne has started using it. Watertown.
Plato.
Plato.
I call Plato. I call Scott and Plato. that they use it and hold up good. So
yeah, and nobody's had a issue, and it sounds it's best the first two applications, and then after that you want a seal code is kind of what we've been hearing.
Council, any questions? All right, let's look into it. I mean, if it does what it says it does, it sounds like it's got good possibilities going forward. So, and we'll jump back to the chief. Looks like he's finally escaped the township.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't have a lot to bring to you tonight. Can just go over the township report if you want. I'm not going to read everything to you guys because I trust you can all read. If not, let your partner next to you know and they'll help you all.
Is that a shot at the townships? Or
no, I told them all the same thing.
Well, just carry on.
I didn't see anybody reach over and point to words, so I think we're good.
Sounds good.
So with both Washington Lake and Young America Township, same as every other year, I go over them with the numbers that we've spent, you know, budget wise. Obviously, what our officers are at, how many members we have, just kind of some stuff like that. Explain to them grants, donations. Explain to them the public safety aid that the city allowed us to use for air pack frames. Went over all the calls that we did and, you know, let them know that last year was the year of the fire for whatever reason. We had more fires last year and between mutual aid to other departments and in our own area than we had in the 2 years combined previous. So it was busy for us for fires last year. If we move on to the township payments, for as long as I can remember, and I talked to Jeremy about this, the townships have been paying $160 a unit. Moving into 2025, we upped that to $170 a unit. Inflation's kicking everybody's butt. You know, it costs us a lot more to do the same things that we did, you know, a handful of years ago. Gear is more expensive, air packs, everything we look at, we touch is more expensive. So it's not something we like to do, but it's just kind of the way of the world right now. I left the 2018 engine purchase. I left that in there. I told him it'll probably be the last year that this stays in the township report because I've been talking to him about it for enough years and it's been paid off that they don't need to keep looking at the same numbers. But I told him the only reason I left it in there is so they could see their share of expense or percentage share of an expense. When we look at getting the new grass rig quick response vehicle that I talked to you guys about last meeting, I just wanted them to know roughly what their percentage of that vehicle would be cost-wise. I explained to them overall, we're looking at $110,000, hopefully cheaper. You know, that puts their percentage in, you know, $20,000-$25,000 for that type of spending. So there's a few questions they had asked, you know, type of vehicle, why this way versus that way. A lot of the same things I explained to you guys last meeting. Outside of that, they didn't have any real pertinent questions or concerns for me. So.
Council, any questions for Chief in regards to the report?
No, pretty straightforward. Nope.
Or any questions otherwise?
Are you sure you want to ask that question?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you guys let me off so easy all the time. I don't know. Don't get to spend much time with you.
Are we going to have a fire board meeting?
I think we will, yeah. I've been asked about it, and I told them, you know, I said we haven't done anything in the past, you know, 3 years that I've been chief that I felt warranted one. You know, we weren't running and buying a new vehicle. We weren't doing anything. Everything had just been kind of low key. So I didn't feel like, you know, wasting an evening on anybody's time, but I think we will have a fire board meeting now and get everyone together and just talk over some things. And
Council, all the old Christmas ornaments taken care of
All the new ones are in the basement. The Lions picked out a few. I had a couple members from the fire department that picked out a couple. I still have, oh, I don't know, 20 or so old ones down there. And I was going to talk to Jason or Jeremy, and I just forgot about it. If you want to have people get a hold of me, if they want to purchase lights, if you guys know, or not purchase lights, if they want to have them, they can. If anybody wants them, they can get a hold of me, and I can try and set up a time to go and show them what they can take out. But like I said, I got maybe 20 or so old ones left down there.
You want us to put in a newsletter?
If you want, yeah.
Want me to use the city office number, though?
Yeah, that's fine. Office number or email. I mean, I screen my calls, so if they don't leave a message, I'm
back. I use your chief
email. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, I'll give it, you know, basically they're not in anybody's way right now, so I'm not in a real big rush to get rid of them. There's plenty of room for the new lights down there. But at some point, if I get tired of looking at them or tripping in them, no one's come to me and said they wanted some, then they're going to go away. Okay. So you need some for the baseball park, like maybe Christmas in July?
I could ask the group.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, maybe hand out something free if they knock one off the post or something with a home run or foul ball. Yeah, just an idea.
We could line them up in left field.
Yeah, there you go.
If you hit them, you hit them.
Yeah. Use the guy that lives in left field, use his electricity, though. Save the save the ballparks.
Anything else?
Nope.
No, not too bad.
All right. Questions. You guys have a good evening.
We do. Thank you.
All right. Next item.
Yes.
Next item is the street improvement project.
All right. It's been a while since we've been in front of council. Couple new members, just for intro for you guys and the folks listening. My name is Brody Bratch. I'm a project engineer with SEH. I've been working with City of Hamburg since I started SEH in 2017. And we've been in SEH as a company has been here for much longer. So in front of us today, we have a couple resolutions that you guys need to pass. Or I think it's just one. I think it's boiled into one. It would be to approve the plans and specs for the project and then authorize us to advertise for bids. I included a schedule for the project. So tonight, yeah, we're sitting on March 12th. We will start publishing on the 21st, submit to the paper on the 18th, and then it's best practice to post for at least 3 weeks. So then that didn't really align with your guys' council meeting schedule all that well. So me and Jeremy talked, and he's going to push that meeting in April to Thursday so you meet the criteria for posting. And then we can get it opened as soon as possible to give the contractors the most flexibility in their schedules. So hopefully I didn't ruin anybody's Thursday night by doing that. Should be a quick one. I guess I don't know what else he's got on your agenda, but as far as the project is, you look at the numbers. If we like the number, move ahead. I guess just I'll maybe go give a quick spiel. I don't know if you guys dove into the plans too much, but the project is a reclaim and overlay project. It is similar to what we've done in Railroad Street and Jacob Street in the past, where the big reclaim machine comes and grinds up all the pavement. We take off the excess, pack it down, put in some drain tile, and then we pave a new 4-inch bituminous section of pavement. We did soil borings, or the Mueller's did soil borings, and we found that there's a healthy gravel section there. So it's a good candidate for a reclaim project, and it should last us 20 plus years once we do this project. We're going to install, like I said, some drain tile, help with some street drainage. And then also we will connect, we're going to stub out three sump pump service lines there's three homes out there that have sump pumps that discharge out into the street. So we'll have a little connection for them to connect the sump pump to, so that it stops spilling out onto the street. Water on the street's bad, so we take care of that with the sump pump services. And we're replacing a healthy amount of curb and gutter. There's a lot of weaving and settling and heaving going on there. So it's actually about 1,000 feet of curb and gutter replacement. And then along with that, we're installing four new catch basins and creating a couple of new low spots. The curb out there is really flat, and that's probably why it started settling and heaving, because the water wasn't draining down the curb
We did survey shots and it's like half as flat as what we usually would consider minimum. So by introducing the catch basins in low spots, we can take care of, we're going to be at minimum for all of our grades. So that'll help. That'll help with the drainage for sure. A little bit of added cost, but it's definitely worth it to get that water off the street. One other thing is Jason had me add a, we're doing a patch on George Street. There's a section of pavement right by the valley gutter there that's pretty blocked up and tore up. So we're just going to add that to the project. Contractor will just go in and patch it so he doesn't have to coordinate on his own with the patching crews. They'll be right in town. So it's the best price you'll get on that. And then I think Jeremy did post the or print an email that I sent out regarding the sanitary sewer. So we had we looked at all the manholes just to get some pipe tests to make sure that our storm sewer crossings were okay. And then we noticed the guy I sent out actually noticed there's a lot of blockage in one of the sanitary mains. And the reason for that is that there's no manhole or clean out at the end of the line. So it has never probably been cleaned besides that guy's sewage. I think it's just one house at the end there. It's Brian Draghi's house. So Jeremy wants us to try to incorporate something in the project to give us access to that line to clean it. I put in the email, you know, it's probably, you know, or it is, you know, it's recommended to put a manhole. I mean, that would be the best practice. It's standard. You can get inside the manhole to put a jetter line in there and then you can, you know, see down the pipe and all that stuff. But it is a dead end run though. So I do understand, I mean, that, you know, it's not underneath pavement by any means. So it doesn't need to be that robust. So, I mean, we could do like a clean out with some bends and then you would just essentially be able to flush the line out, you know, dump a hose down there and flush it rather than having an actual jetter go through the line. It would probably be sufficient. So I guess I would understand if you guys would be okay with the clean out, but I guess, you know, just on the record, a manhole is more standard, but I would be fine doing either one for you guys, depending on what you're willing to spend.
Well, any questions?
I guess, yeah, just since I mentioned cost, the cost estimate's also in there. Total construction estimate right now is at $435,000. I will say there's some, you know, cushion in some of these numbers. So hopefully we'll get bids in under, and then that's what you go with. You don't have to go by my estimate. That's just my best guess. You never know where pavement prices are going to come in, but with you guys having a contractor right in town, you typically see some pretty good pricing. So.
So you have about a 5% contingency, right?
And then there's a 5% project contingency, yep.
Project related costs, is that basically engineering costs?
Yep, that's the contract that you guys approved last council meeting for us to, that number is for us to do the plans, go out to bid, receive the bids, but then also to have an inspector on site about half the time during the project. So that's kind of turnkey for us. We won't have any other expenses for you guys. We'll also do record drawings with that number as well.
Yeah, so as long as we're on that, so I mean, they're kind of like you said, it all depends on where the numbers come in, but we're just going off the estimate. We're looking at, you know, close to around that $597,000 mark. To show where we're at from a city standpoint,
the estimates were under 500.
Yes,
yeah,
497.
Yeah.
What did I say?
497.
Channeling the cost there.
Trying to get your bonus in there.
So kind of where we're at, what we have right now is $464,377 for this project. But like I've said, one of the things I would look at is we have these ARPA funds we have to use yet. So there's some movement there to move some monies around. So like I said, if we were to use them, I'm thinking probably the best, once I get some clarification for next meeting, is to use the ARPA funds for the grinder. So that would free up $56,000 from that project then that we could use, because we had, was it $90,000? I think we were transferring from the general fund to the sewer fund.
Yep. Yeah.
So if we use those monies for that project, like I said, then there's $56,000 freed up. So you can see we have the expenses covered.
And that's it, if it's at the high estimate.
Right. Yes. We hope you're high.
That's where I like to be. I don't want to be low.
To be high.
I don't want to be low.
Actually, we hope your estimate is high. And you just want to clarify that for people who are not in the room.
I guess one thing on the ARPA funds in other cities that I work in, right away, they had some pretty tight restrictions on where you could spend that. But
right.
After a while, they really opened
and
it up.
And they loosened it up.
Yeah, pretty
but
good.
I'm trying to see if you can just do it for street improvements, though.
They
haven't got the greatest clarification on
it. Did Glencoe use some for a trail project? So I would imagine if you could use, that's also maybe tied to recreation. People walk on the streets, you could go with that, right?
They were today.
Yeah.
So council, if anybody has any other questions or any concerns, I look for motion to approve resolution number 2024-04.
Before you do that, Chris, I was just thinking, maybe we should approve the council meeting change date.
Is that first?
Yes, because in that resolution.
Oh, okay.
I'll take the resolution. Next meeting date. So.
And then I guess one other thing, when you do the approval to set the bid opening, make sure you say the day and the time.
Yeah, we have it in the resolution.
Just so it gets in the motion.
2:00.
Yep.
2:00 on Thursday, the 11th. And then we would consider the bids at 7:00 on Tuesday, April 16th.
All right, so but first for a motion to move our April meeting to April 16th at 7:00.
I make a motion to move the April 9th meeting to April 16th at 7 p.m.
Second. To move and seconded to move our April 9th meeting to April, or to move our meeting to April 16th at 7 p.m. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulina.
Councilmember Weber. Aye.
Councilman Tracy. Aye.
Mayor Lund. Aye. All opposed. Passes. Next, I would look for a motion. Do we want to do the resolution first, or do we want to do the opening or the?
You can do the resolution because the times are stated in the resolution.
Okay. Yep. So I look for a motion to approve resolution 2024-04.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-04.
Councilman Poplar, second.
So move and seconded to approve resolution number 2024-04. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Hey, we got a project.
Great. Did you want to have some conversation on what direction you'd like to go for that sewer? Jeremy, I don't know if you wanted it.
On the manhole.
Yeah.
You want to add a manhole or just clean out or
how much
leave it as is? It was $5,500 for manhole.
Yeah.
Right? $800 for cleanup.
Yeah, and that's my best guess, you know, with the
just I just do a manhole and be done with it.
Can I just clean up? Because then I'm just gonna put water through there every 6 months or whatever. That's what I would suggest. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, and then whenever that gets developed next.
Yeah, the only risk with the manhole is if you'd want to have a hole up the other end of it because to continue the pipe run if you ever grow that way. And then it's kind of a wonky street, so you don't exactly know where to point the pipe direction. So, I mean, I understand why they didn't put one on in the first place. You know, right away I was like, well, who did those plans? I look back and it was SDH in 2001. So, so yeah, I mean, as far as maintenance go, I mean, yes, the manhole is the right thing to do, but in this situation and scenario, I would say it's fine to do the clean out, you know, for the dollars that you're saving.
Yeah, I would say if Kurt and Jason conferred and have concluded that the non-manhole option is.
If it was under a street, I would say it's much different. I would push much harder, but it's in the grass, so yeah. it's not as critical.
Would you add that into the project?
Yep, I'll just add it right to the plans.
Want to do a change order?
No, I can still update these.
Okay.
But, you know, as long as you guys are okay with it, there's sure. Going to be other small changes as I review it before I fully post it, but they're, you know, 99% done. So I'll just get it right in the project.
So we probably should have a motion to approve it to add the clean out the end of Brad Street.
Yeah. Council?
Councilman Tracy, I make a motion to go with the clean out cost of $800 at the end of Brad Street.
Estimated
of $800 at the end of Brad Street.
Second it.
It's moved and seconded to add the estimated cost of $800 for the clean out the end of Brad Street. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulding, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes.
All right, now I think we're good to go. Jeremy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should be good to go.
All right. We'll keep going and hope for good bids.
Tell everybody to sharpen
their pencils.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brody. All right. Move on then. The council reports. Councilman Polzine.
I guess I really don't have much for streets.
Are you sure? Or are you just guessing?
It's a pretty estimated guess. We've talked a lot about streets today.
Awesome. Councilman Poplar.
Nothing here.
Councilwoman Weber.
Nothing.
Councilman Tracy.
Nothing here.
One thing I have is we'll get a newsletter out this week. So if anybody has anything they want us to include, let us know. Next mayor is in time. Ironically, will be April Fool's Day. So other than that, I have nothing else.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Moving seconded to adjourn. I don't know if you guys are going to sit around for a while. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Hamburg City Council for March 12th, 2024 is adjourned at 20:02.